Welcome to the Asia Cafe podcast. As I travel around Asia, I hear amazing stories about how God is working. This is Jake Hansen, and I'll be serving you a main course with every episode. If you like what you hear, tell others and subscribe.
I was raised up as a normal, a typical Malay family. You know, the parents are obliged to send you to madrasa or to agama school. So we were taught how to pray, you know, do not miss your prayers, do not fast when you need to fast, you know, should go to for your Friday prayers and all that. So I did all that. But when I was 14 years old, which was about 10 years ago, when I was 14, I had this desire to know God, to know who is Allah, who is my... I mean, I was not seeking any other gods. I was not going out to search for a new religion. I just want to find out more about my own God, because I felt that there was a certain time where when I pray, I realized that I only pray because I have to pray, not because I want to pray to God. And in spiritual sense, I felt very empty. Sure, Islam is very beautiful for me at that time. There's a lot of miracles that's happening also, a lot of great testimonies. But still, I find that God is very, very far. My Allah that I worship is very far. It's like a routine, it's like a normal ritual that I'm doing every day without fail. But still, I don't sense God was with me at that time. So I began to ask my ustaza or my religious teacher. I also asked my mom questions which made them angry. The standard reply that they will give me was, you know, you do not question all this. You do not question your faith, or else it will shaken your faith. So I was like, okay, since I can't get information from my parents, from my religious teacher, I have to do it on my own. So praise God for the internet. I actually log on to the internet, and I actually just surf more about Islam. In the beginning, it was fine. All the websites I saw was the normal websites, you know, telling how good Islam is, their five pillars and all that. But I came across another website which tells the story about my prophet at that time. And the stories were very harsh. It seems very harsh to me. It was talking about his marriages, his battles with other tribes. And I was very angry. I was very angry with the creator of the website or whoever wrote that information, because I thought that was a lie. That never happened. Until I actually found out that whatever happens, what is actually being told in the hadith, in another Muslim collection of books. And I was very surprised. And one thing that sort of like disgusted me was how my own prophet, whom I revered so much, got married with a lady that is much younger than him. That actually made me come to a stage where, wow, is Islam really real? And I was a bit scared, of course, because you are hating a prophet that God loves so much. God loves him so much. Even before the world was formed, his soul was already there with God, in a sense, his light. I had to have a sense of spiritual fulfillment in me. So I began to learn more. I guess as I was searching for God, I drew closer to Christianity, mainly because next to my secondary school was a Catholic church. And like many, many Catholic churches, they have a very prominent statue or figurine of Jesus on the cross. Every day when I walk past the church, I will always look inside. Without fail, I will look at the statue, and I often ask myself, who is this person? Who is this person? It's a gruesome sight to see a man. I mean, even though it's a statue, but it's very gruesome to see a skinny person with blood all over, with a crown of thorns on a cross, dying. But somehow when I see that figurine or that crucifix, I was so... I was at peace. I knew there was something behind that. That cross, there's a story behind it. So I began to search more about Christianity. Of course, in the beginning, we know that Christians are very bad. We are always being told by my parents and by my religious teacher that, you know, the Christians are the one that will, they will give you money to convert, you know, they will do all sorts of magic for you so that you will convert. One of the story is that, you know, they will give you a holy water, and when you drink it, your tongue will be black and you cannot recite any more Quranic verses. So all that comes to mind. When I went to the internet, I searched more about Christianity, I learned more about Jesus, and I did a comparison study between the two faiths, between Islam and Christianity. One thing that made me confident that Jesus was Lord is that we have a prophet Idris in the Quran. His story is this. He has experienced death before. He went to hell before, and then after that he went to heaven. In the Quran, we all know that nobody can go to heaven without experiencing death, without experiencing hell. Then after hell, then you can go to heaven. But in the story of Isa al-Masih in the Quran, he went straight to heaven to be with God. And when I look at this parallelism with Christianity, I find it, wow, you know, Christians believe that he's God. The Muslims believe that he's with God. And who can be near God unless you are divine or you are someone very, very holy? Because Isa al-Masih in the Quran did not experience death, but he's still with God. So that is one of my conviction, which finally, after 6 to 8 months of a comparison study, I, in front of my computer, I just declare that, you know what, I think Jesus, you are God to me. Yeah. And that was when I was 14. That was about 10 years ago. My journey in Christ wasn't that fast. I grew very slowly in faith, firstly because I was 14. And, you know, when you became a Christian, all things come to mind, especially stories which you heard about Malay being Christians, and they were kicked out of the house, they were beaten, they received all kinds of persecution. And I was scared too. So I became a secret believer. I did not tell anyone except for one person, one of my good friends. So I grew up slowly. I actually went to the National Library to borrow Bible and to read from there. And there was one instance, I guess, my mom saw me reading a Bible, but that was in a hotel room. I was reading the hotel Bible. She asked me, why are you reading? I say, I'm reading the Bible. Then after that, she was very quiet. So, I don't know, maybe God is working somewhere at that time. Over the years, as I got older, I was enlisted to be in the army. If you understand Malay culture, the Malays like to have, whenever we are going to do something big, like a big project, or like for my case, going to be enlisted to the army, we'll be more closer to God. We will hold a lot of festival and the Malays will call it the kenduris and the doa selamat, you know, a time of prayer. So I decided that I think it's time for me to go to church, to first step into the church. So I first went in to the Catholic church. I was just a normal Sunday attendee. I just go there, I'll just sit at the back of the pew and just listen and then go out. I realized that soon after, I saw certain practices in the church itself which I was not very peaceful about. I saw a person prostrating down in front of the saint. So I realized that maybe this is not my church. So I went on to a Protestant church, and from there I felt very happy, and so I decided to be baptized there. During my baptism course of study, the church required us to go for a 6 months course, a 6 months study. So I had this file which was filled with all the Christian notes. So there was this particular night I actually forgot to hide the file. So I left it open on my bed, and my parents, I think, on that night came home from work. I was at the living room playing the computer, and I guess she walked past my room, she saw that file, she was curious. She took a look at it, she carried it, she brought it in front of me, and she placed it in front, and she asked me, "What is this?" I was very stunned, I was speechless, I wanted to lie. I wanted to say, "Oh, this belongs to my friend," or I wanted to say, I'm working for the church, but I cannot lie because my names are all on the forms, my IC number, my full name, so I know I cannot run away. So I just closed the file and I told my mom, "Mom, this is my privacy. This is my private things," I said. So my mom said, "No, you wait here, I'll go and call your father." So she went to the kitchen. I quickly take the file and I hide it in my room cupboard. My mom saw me going to the room and opening my cupboard. So she knows exactly where I hide the file, but she doesn't know the specific spot. So she came in later with my father. She was very hysterical. She was shouting, "Where's the file? Where's the file?" So I told her, "I do not know." So I ran out of the room. The cupboard once belongs to my mom. It's an old cupboard. It's a very simple cupboard with a top shelf, a middle drawer, and a bottom shelf. And in that drawer where I hide the file is where she used to keep all her birth certificate, her jewelry, all her important documents are there in that drawer. I'm sure she won't miss that drawer. She'll definitely open that drawer first. So I went out of the room. I went to the living room, and for the first time, I prayed to God something that I really want. I want it to be fulfilled. So I prayed to God, "Lord, you know, I've never asked anything from you for the past 6 years. Please blind their eyes. I really don't want them to find the file." So I prayed to God to blind their eyes. And I got up. I do not know how I got the courage, but I actually got up and went into the room. And I look at their faces. They were so hysterical. They were just rummaging through the cupboard. And for the next 1.5 hours, what my parents did was to search the top shelf. And they skipped the drawer. They went to the bottom shelf. All this happened for the next 1.5 hours. Somehow or rather, I think God has just covered their eyes or have prevented them from opening that drawer. And I was pleased with God at that time that my faith actually just skyrocketed up. Yeah. And I know some people have told me, "Oh, maybe your mom was confused at that time. Maybe she couldn't see the drawer." But I told her, I told my friends that, you know, my dad was there too. And my dad is a very alert person. A two-person couldn't see the drawer, which is very obvious. I don't think that's a possibility. So they went out of the room, and then I prayed to God, "Oh Lord, thank you so much." And I told God that, you know, I do not want this situation to be prolonged. I hope everything will be back to normal tomorrow. Yeah. The reason why I didn't want them to find the file, they know I'm a Christian, it's okay. But I do not want them to know the name of the church that I'm going to. Because I'm just worried that they might call up the church or they might create trouble with the church. And that is what I'm trying to prevent. It's okay if they know me as a Christian, as a believer. But I just do not want the church to be involved. Already the church is kind enough to accept me as who I am. So I went to sleep on that night. The next morning, my mom just knocked on my door and told me to have breakfast. So I came out of the room. My dad came out, took the bread, and he just nodded at me. From that on till now, we've never talked anything about that incident. I guess they know that I'm a believer in Isa, but somehow, or rather, they refuse to acknowledge. Maybe they are just trying to be in denial. I'm a believer. After that incident, my faith, after that little persecution that I faced, just very little, I managed to grow steadily in faith. Currently, I'm in full-time ministry. I'm attending Bible college. I'm taking a degree in theology. I really hope one day that I can serve effectively to the Malays here. And God has been very good to me. All these years provided me with finance, with good health, good family relationship, and better friends. I have lots of friends last time, but all those friends are not kingdom, does not have the kingdom mentality. Right now, I'm very glad that my friends that I have now are all focused into walking into the kingdom. It's just it's just my story and a little miracle that has happened in my life.
Well, I hope you were challenged as I was by the story of this young man. Stay tuned for the next episode of Asia Cafe. This is Jake Hansen signing out.